Good afternoon, people. Welcome to our next episode of JB's Fam. On this episode, we have none other than my brother, Dr. Travis Williams, who's an electrical engineer currently residing in Harlem. And this brother's got a lot of hidden gems. And just sit back, relax, and enjoy the combo. Today on JB's Fam, we have a great friend of mine, Dr. Travis Williams, who's a postdoc research scholar in his PhD in electrical engineering. He's a good friend of mine. Again, I've known this brother, I say, I think it's been about 11 years now.
Hey,
Trav, you know, say hello to the people.
Hey, people, how y'all doing?
Yeah, this guy's hard to track down. I won't really get into where he was recently, but we'll just say that he did something that's beautiful, and he's going to another part of his life, which I guess I could say is he'll be spending it with someone else. And this dude, he makes me look bad because we'll just say my proposal was not on his level. So that's what I'll say. I should have known that this dude is, you know, clever with the words. You know, he knows how to get to your mind, and he's just a smooth cat. And I love him like my own brother, you know. And I'm just glad to have him on the show today. So, Trav, let's start from the beginning, man. You know, you're a very interesting cat. You know, you have a lot of different talents, but more focus on your professional career. Let's start from the beginning as to where it all started for you with education. You know, let the people know where you're from, and we'll just ride that on up.
All right. Thank you. And that was a beautiful intro, man. If I was an emotional guy, I'd be crying right now. So I'm from Chesterfield, Virginia, and Wilmington, North Carolina. So those are the two main places as far as, you know, the elementary, middle school, and high school education. I was always, I don't want to say favored by my teachers, but because I was so quiet and inquisitive, they were able to see that, you know, I was a person who wanted to learn. I didn't really cause any trouble in the classroom. And that's pretty much been, I guess, how I've always been able to just gain favor. Was I've never really been about drama. And I was one of the few Black males that, you know, were praised in school, because what I saw growing up was that a lot of us were kind of pushed off to the side as if we weren't there. But I was one of the few that was praised and was given encouragement, even if some of the comments were backhanded, you know, by the teachers. The students, that's another story. But yeah, just starting with education, I'd say as far as being an electrical engineer, that actually, so I've always been interested in math and science. I've always liked it. I always felt like I wanted to be a scientist. I think that started probably around like fourth or fifth grade. I felt like I wanted to be a scientist of some sort. I was always into something, reading encyclopedias. And, you know, I just was a person that was always about knowledge and gaining understanding of things. And when I got to high school, this was in North Carolina. When I got to high school, I just continued on that. So I've always taken advanced level classes. Advanced classes and advanced placement classes, you know, AP classes. And, you know, I was trying to see what field of science that I liked. And along with that, I also was hearing about this thing called engineering, which they've told me was related to science, like the application of science. So I was interested in that too, because I like applying stuff. I like getting my hands dirty and seeing how it works in the real world. So in my at the end of my junior year, I went to a program at Georgia Tech. It was called MITE, Minorities in Technology and Engineering. And we stayed there for like a little over a week. We were up in the dorms in Georgia Tech. It was like the apartment style dorms. And it was pretty much all, you know, minorities, like Black kids, Hispanic kids, maybe some Native Americans. And we learned about all the different disciplines, the main disciplines of engineering. Of course, I gravitated more towards electrical engineering, but I still wasn't solidified in that. But just being around that environment and being at this prestigious school, it had an effect on me, and it made me want to look deeper. Then my senior year, my AP physics and calculus teacher, he turns out he was an electrical engineer before he started teaching, and he had a big influence on me. He's probably the biggest reason why I even decided to make electrical engineering a major. He was very, you know, his name was Mr. Creasy. He's passed away in the early 2000s, so RIP to him.
Yeah.
But he was always positive with me, like, and even when it came to like the racial stuff, he started talking to me and telling me that he, you know, as a white man, he couldn't understand how it must feel to be the only Black guy in the class. And he could see how some of the students were like saying little racial stuff either to me or like about other Black kids. And he started becoming an advocate for me. So it really made a deep impression. And when we started talking about the electrical part of physics, it just resonated with me. So I go to college and I'm getting deeper into, you know, electrical engineering, and I'm deciding which part of it, because it's a very broad field. I'm also into music, so I was working with a startup label at the time, and I was their sound engineer. And so I started to gravitate towards the part of electrical engineering that dealt with signals and sounds and patterns and all that type of stuff. I just figured it would make it easier to be a sound engineer if I understood like all the filtering and audio manipulation, like the algorithms behind it. So that's how I got into that particular part of it. I got my master's as well at NC State, and that was a rough road. Because I wasn't as mature as I am now. So I didn't understand how getting a graduate degree, like it's the reason why it's called a professional degree, because you're supposed to work as if you're a professional in your field. But I still had an undergrad mindset. So it was hard. And I actually flunked out at the last semester. And I had to wait like almost a year to get back in. I had to fight to get back in.
This is a story I don't.
Yeah. And I actually, that was my first time ever really having a huge academic failure. Wow. Yeah. So like I lost all my savings because, you know, I had to stay in my apartment and I was fighting it. So, and I eventually got a temporary job, but I had to fight to stay there, and I just wasn't going to give up. I knew that if I graduated, it would be an increase of like $15,000 for whatever job I could get. So yeah. I was like, I'm going to fight. They didn't want to let me back in. That was the crazy part. They wanted me to drop a whole semester, and I refused to do that because even though I did make like C's and C pluses in some of those semesters, I also made A's. So if I would have dropped the whole semester, I also would have dropped all that work in the classes that I did do well in.
Can you speak real quick on some of those maybe distractions you may have had that kind of, you know, because you, like you mentioned, you said, you know, for the most part, you know, your academic career, you thrive. Mm-hmm. And so what kinds of things did you face that, you know, that you kind of got off track?
Yeah, so, you know, when you go from undergrad to graduate school and it's the same school, you can feel like it'll be the same because you're in the same environment. And then there's like, there's something that happens when you graduate from undergrad, you know, because even though it's hard, you know, engineering is hard no matter what level, still undergrad is, it's more fun and you have more space and time to do things, even though ironically there's more classes, but you just have more time and it's expected that you should be able to let your hair down. But when you're in graduate school, there isn't as much time because it's a deeper level of study. But I just didn't fully grasp that. So that's the first thing. And then second thing, which is kind of along with the first thing, I was still grieving not being an undergrad anymore. So it was a hard disconnect. And I realized other students were having the same problem. You know, because I was young. I was like 21. So to go from that, and then you're around people who are like a lot older than you and they have kids and stuff. And I wasn't used to that. And I'm not.
So like, that's probably when reality. Yeah. Said, yeah. Like, hey, I'm an adult now. And
exactly. Exactly. And I had like a break between undergrad and graduate school. Like I had like about a 5-6 month break where I wasn't really doing anything. I was working as a bag boy at a grocery store and I was staying.
We all had those jobs.
Yeah, and I was couch surfing. I was sleeping on my brother's couch. So it wasn't a good introduction into this new life. Like I ended up moving into my own apartment once, like within the first month of that first semester of that spring. But the third thing was I also, I mean, you know, I'm into church and all of that. And, you know, I was deep into my church at the time, but I wasn't balancing my time. So I was still trying to do the sound, like be the sound man at the church. I was still trying to be a musician in the church. I was doing all these things, but when you're in graduate school, you have to devote most of the time to graduate school. It doesn't mean you can't go to church, but you do have to prioritize because it's a sensitive time. And I got bit in the butt. So I was trying to do all these things and I was doing the work. But when you're in graduate school or any type of advanced level education, you have to sacrifice all of that so that you can go deep into your studies and be confident. And when you're tested, you can pass with flying colors or at least near flying colors, like make a B. You have to at least make a B. C's are like F's in graduate school. So that was what happened. And the way I rectified that was once I got back in, I just told them I'm not doing the sound. I'm not coming on Wednesday and Thursday and Monday. I'm coming on Sunday. And if you don't like it, too bad. And they didn't like it and I didn't care.
So you bring up an interesting point because my current career, you know, the conversation a lot that you hear is the term bandwidth, mm-hmm. right? You know, we think about, you know, the internet and you have so much bandwidth and, you know, that's when you notice that your internet is slowing down when you have less bandwidth, yes. right? So the same thing that in life, you know, whatever that is, you know, whether that's your education or a new job, you know, finding that balance. And it's funny that, you know, now I'll just say my age, I'm 37. In my age now, I'm just now learning how to balance things, as you're saying. So you speaking on, you know, going through that in graduate school, here's a young man that's transitioning to the next phase in his life. And it's safe to say that you just didn't have the maturity at that time to, you know, say, hey, you know, I'm not going to be able to do all these things in order for me to attend this.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's pretty sad that Trav, I'm just now learning how to do this.
I mean,
that you learned this how long ago? Sometimes it's okay to say no.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm still learning it, but I'm a lot stronger in it because that gave me a strong foundation because you know, I lost a lot of money and time, and it was a heart-wrenching situation because if it had went another way, all that work I had put in over those past 2 years could have been over. Like I had a full scholarship once that first semester passed in graduate school. I had a full fellowship that paid for, not only did it pay for my tuition and all of that, but it gave me a pretty big stipend for a graduate student. And all of that was gone in an instant because I just couldn't say no. And I was trying to be Superman and please everybody and show that I was, as far as in church terms, that I was faithful. And, you know, because they used to, you know how they can be, you know, complaining about people that don't show up. So I was just like,
your heart is in the wrong place now. And yeah, it's like, I mean, being a fellow Christian, you know, not knocking, you know.
Just being church, real.
But I mean, at times, you know, people will say little things to kind of, you know, cut you, you know, or undercut you, you know, thinking that your heart isn't in the right place because you're just trying to do for yourself to, you know, so you can have a successful career. So, you know, there's nothing biblically saying that you can't, you know, focus on your craft.
Yeah, especially, you know, it's just for a set time. And what I used to always say, it was like, you know, when people are in med school, you don't expect them to be running and breaking down the doors of the church or whatever. It don't have to be church. But why are you treating me this way? Like, this is just as important. And it's just what I had to do was I had to take the power out of other people's hands and just stand on what I knew was best for me, because I wasn't just doing this for me. It was eventually, you know, in my mind, I'm like, whenever this comes, I'm going to have a family. And how would I look like? I'm still struggling because I got to be involved in this thing and that thing. And I'm not even taking care of home the way it needs to be. So home starts with me. And I just started to become very bold in just telling people no, or not even telling them. I just showed them. Like I've always been like this, but even with that particular aspect of my life, I was like, you're not going to have access to me when you think you should. And I might not directly say it, but when I feel like coming around is when I'm going to come around. I'm always going to be faithful. I'm always going to attend services and give my tithes and stuff, but I'm not going to be acting like I don't have other stuff going on. And that, because the main thing is that God is the one who gave this to me. Like, he gives you the ability to gain wealth or prosperity for your life, however that could be. And you have to manage that with the same level of fervor and humbleness that you manage other things that he gives you. And all this stuff, it's just like with God, it's simple. It's just meant to help you. It's meant to bless you. It's people that distort it and try to pull you over into what they want, and they upset the balance if you allow it. And I learned that. It's like, okay, God gave me this. A lot of people don't get the chance to do this. Like, even with the PhD, I know we're about to get into that. Only 1 to 3% of people in the country, I think even in the world too, have a PhD. That's a blessing to be able to do this. And for me to squander that just in saying I'm doing in the name of the Lord is not honoring what God has given and not honoring the precious moments that you're supposed to have. And, you know, the fact that this is, you're part of a select few that are able to do this. So, yeah.
Wow.
Hey, you. You right there. I just want to thank you for becoming a part of my family, JB's fam, that is, and becoming a subscriber and a follower, because if it wasn't for you, none of this would be possible. So sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the content.
Can you say that percentage again?
Yeah.
I don't think people understand the mm-hmm. gravity of that.
Yeah, it's like, about, yeah, for doctorate degrees, PhDs, whatever, it's about 1 to maybe 3% of the country. Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive, man, that you were able to endure and, you know, and accomplish this. Me and you can mm-hmm. talk for days because, you know, like I said, we're brothers, you know. I've known this man for, mm-hmm. around 11 years or so. We've lived together. You know, like, we're brothers. So we won't get into too much of that. But, I mean, whatever you want to dabble in and out on, if you want to talk about the direction that you went as far as mm-hmm. career and how you segued from there to actually deciding to go to graduate school.
Yeah, so after I was able to finish, thank God, you know, my master's, I went to work for a company for 3 years. And
I worked there too.
Yeah. I eventually got laid off, which I knew was going to happen even before I started working there. I knew I was either going to be laid off from this place and go back and get my PhD, or I was going to love what I was doing so much that I was going to get my PhD with the company. So the first thing happened, and I moved back to North Carolina to do my PhD. And so the PhD actually wasn't, like, you know, wasn't, for the most part, it was pretty, it wasn't hard. I mean, it's hard, but it wasn't hard, if that makes sense. I was just so focused because I was like, I was in survivor mode. My confidence was low, but I just said, it's all or nothing with this. So I just put my all into it. I rectified a lot of the mistakes I had made in the past with graduate school. And it went relatively smooth from an administrative perspective. Like, my professors and my advisor, like, I had a lot of support. The only hiccup I had was I failed my qualifying exam the first time. I persevered. I bit down and I studied, and then I passed it the second time, because you only get 2 chances before they kick you out. So I passed it. It took a while for me to get my actual dissertation topic, but even with that, it was like God kind of led me through my advisor. He was the one who put me onto my eventual path that I'm on now, which was using artificial intelligence to detect, like, images and, well, detect anything really, but images and stuff like that. And wow. So we started doing that. I started learning it. I never learned this before, but I started learning it, and I eventually came up with my own methods, and you know, I defended in 2017, and then I started this postdoc at a, you know, a nice hospital in New York City. And I've been here for the past 3 years. And where I'm at now is that I'm trying to be a professor. So right now the choice is either be a professor and continue doing research, or work for a corporation and be like a technical lead, or if they have a research lab, be an integral part of that. And just briefly, what I'm doing with the hospital is we're working with like different types of cancer detection. So I mainly deal with the cancers of like pancreas cancer and liver cancer. And mainly those two cancers, and there's like maybe one other one that I'm not thinking of, but it's basically the
So I was just gonna say, well, first I'm gonna go back for a second, because here's a opportunity to shout out.
That's right. That's right. That yeah,
you actually were going to just for a brief second. I'll let you.
Yeah. So
where you were at?
So in North Carolina, and I didn't even want to go back to North Carolina, to be honest with you, but So
I remember.
Yeah. So when I came back from my trip, you had told me that I had some mail. I got to Drexel University initially, but that I thought that mail was a fellowship. Mm-hmm. It turned out it was like a huge loan for like $50,000. And so I wasn't going to take that. And in my mind, the window for applying to other places was done. And so I was like, what am I going to do? And I just remember just being in the shower, like North Carolina A&T had emailed me, and I was like, I'm not going back to North Carolina. And I just remember being in the shower, and God started talking to me. It was like, you know, contact them. And my father, I talked to my dad, and he said the same thing. And so I just did it, and they ended up setting me up with a teaching assistantship. And then from there, I ended up getting a full fellowship that paid for everything. So I didn't pay for anything. I paid initially just to live there, but I didn't, as far as school, I didn't pay for anything with schooling my whole time there. And my full fellowship was just as big as the first full fellowship I had. And it covered me like for 4.5 years. So I didn't pay anything, and I was able to live off of being a researcher and a student. So yeah, I went to North Carolina.
You couldn't have even like fathomed something like that, like happening the way that it happened, you know? And that just goes to, to say that, you know, we don't always know what's right for us, you know, and, you know, God knows best, you know, for us. And just look at how he blessed you.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like, I knew the story, but I didn't know the story. Like, how?
Yeah, he worked it out. You know, shout out to Aggie Pride, you know. God is good, man.
Yeah.
He told me that if I went back to school, I would get a full ride. I thought it was going to happen another way, but it happened the way that he wanted it to happen. Yeah.
Wow. So, all right. So I flipped back that way. Now going fasting forward. So how exactly did you go so you had a master's in electrical engineering, correct? Okay, so how did you go from there to now getting into, in research, as you mentioned about, you know, cancer? Like, how did that transition happen? Like, because that's essentially a whole
different thing, well, it is, but it isn't, because I always wanted to do this. And even in my master's, the concentration of my master's was digital signal processing and communications. So like communications being like telecommunications, like with the phone and, you know, computer networks, and signal processing being with just pretty much any signal. I mean, you could talk about signals with the phone, but audio signals, image signals, just anything like that. So all of it is related, because, and even taking a step back, even during my master's, I had this idea for a PhD, which was to kind of do what I'm doing, but with like mental illness. I just wasn't mature at that time, but that was my idea. I always wanted to use the electrical engineering principles in more of a biomedical setting. So I just wasn't mature at the time, because I was, the original plan was I was going to go straight through and get my PhD at NC State. But when I ran into all that trouble, it just didn't work out. Like, I pretty much got ostracized from a lot of people when I got kicked out. When I had the chance, when I got to A&T, those ideas popped back in my head. And we didn't even do them on medical images, but we did them on just regular real world images. But when I started applying for a postdoc, I specifically applied to hospitals and research labs that were focusing on medical imaging. And the biggest one was cancer. So I just figured, like, this would be a good way to get into the door. And, you know, and of course, you know, cancer affects everybody. So I was like, you know, this is something I want to be a part of. And I found someone who accepted me. And that's how I got it. But it came from an idea that I had like a decade prior. So, yeah.
Wow. See, it's funny. Like, I live with this guy, and a lot of this stuff I didn't know in detail. Like, I mean, yes, we talked about, you know, family, music. Church, you know, music, of course. Yeah, so me and this guy have a lot in common, but, like, to know, like, how he transitioned into where he is now, like, I didn't know all these details. But as he mentioned earlier, he's always been very quiet and very inquisitive. So, yeah, so I'm sure your mind was always, you know, thinking about all these things. You just, you know, did something that a lot of people need to learn to do is, you know, you kept a lot of
things. And the reason why I did that, and not necessarily because of, it wasn't you or anything, but just, I just learned, I mean, I've always been quiet. That's always been one of my advantages, but just from observing other people, if you're always telling everybody what you're going to do, you face more of a chance of people trying to squash your dreams. And, you know, because it's at a very sensitive time when it's at the very beginning. It's like it's like a baby. So it would be like someone, you know, trying to kill a child. Like, a child can't defend itself. And you know, especially like if you were just, if a woman just had her baby, she's weak, because her body is undergoing all of that energy and trauma to deliver the child. So you got to keep that really sensitive, and you got to protect it. So when you get stronger, then you can start talking about it. But for me, the way I've done it, like when I announced it on Facebook, I already had defended, and a lot of people didn't even know I was doing my PhD. But I did that because I was in survival mode, and I was like, I have to protect this. I have to protect myself. Because people are negative, man. Let's just be real. Like, there's a lot of positive people too, but I've realized that even with doing a PhD, again, I said only 1-3% of people have it. So most people just don't understand. They don't understand what you're doing, why you're doing it. And they'll say little negative things like, why are you doing all that school? You know, and when you gonna be done? And why can't you be do this? You think you better than me? You know, so it's like, I didn't want to hear all that. Yeah, crabs in a barrel. So for me, it was like, let me just do what I'm doing. The people that are in the know will be in the know. But I was just very focused. And that's just how I've been with a lot of stuff. Like, I tend to let people know when it's already done. So that way, you know, because people love cheering for you when it's over. Like, everyone's your fan and your best friend when you've accomplished something. And that just makes me, I just shake my head.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, I've been in part of the trenches with you. But like I said, there's a lot of things you mentioned today that, you know, that I didn't know, like all the details of it. But that says a whole lot, you know. So for anyone out there listening, you know, whatever it is that you have inside of you, sometimes it's best not to reveal that. And, you know, you have to protect that. You know, you have to birth it first, and then you have to protect whatever that is. Because as Dr. Williams mentioned, you know, yeah, people are crabs in a barrel, and they will try to destroy whatever that is. And, you know, that can be mm-hmm. for many different reasons. And yeah, I've learned a lot from you, Trav. Believe it or not, I have learned a lot from you. So let's talk a little bit about today. I mean, I don't know how much you can discuss, because you know, I understand with your particular position, yeah, certain things you're in research, so you can't reveal the details of it, but. Let's talk about today. Like, what's going on with Travis today as far as career?
So today, so my goal is by August that I want to, or at least August, it could be past August, but I want to have a clear understanding of what my next step is going to be. So that's what's happening. But in the meantime, I'm still doing research. Still writing papers, still trying to get results for other stuff that we will publish, and just becoming a better researcher. Because this is what, no matter where my career goes, I do want to have some elements of this in my career. And I want to build my career in a way that I'm the one that's controlling it, and that I'm not just reliant on the job to tell me what I'm supposed to do. Like, part of why I did this was so that I could have some power and control over my own destiny. So yeah, that's pretty much where we're at today. And
yeah, I'm gonna stop you real quick because, the word legacy comes in mind. I was listening to a sermon the other day, and I'm not going to disclose who the pastor is or was. But, you know, legacy, the word comes in mind as far as that's the only thing that man may somewhat has mm-hmm. control over as far as death goes. And what I mean by that is that's the part of us that right. you know, lives on when we're not here, you know, because, you know, however you want to look at it, it's inevitable that we're all going to leave this place. So I asked the question for you. I mean, you're at your current state right now, but what is Trav's legacy? What would you like to still be here, you know, for many years to come? You know, and that doesn't necessarily have to be something to do with your career. Right. It could be about who you are. But this whole series that I've put together is mm-hmm. about, you know, a person's ambition. That I talk more so about what drives a person. And so you've pretty much answered that as far as, like, you haven't said once about anything about money. So for you, it's always like, how do things work? You've always liked mm-hmm. to help people. I know that about you personally. So for Travis, what do you see your legacy being?
One thing that I feel strongly about is probably a core reason of why I've done all of what I've done is I just want to live a life with no regret. I want to look back and say I did everything that was in my mind and my heart to do. And that whether it worked out or not, that I squeezed it out. Like, I squeezed everything in my heart and soul towards whatever that was, so that when it's all done, I can say I did my best. I tried. And then another part of it is I want to leave, which goes along with it, is a big part of why I've been able to do what I've been doing And of course, it's God first. I listened to God. I listened to God. I found who God was as a child. And I've been listening to him. I haven't always met the mark, but when it came to my major life decisions, I've listened to God. And I've been patient. And it's hard, but I trust him above anything. And then the third part is I want to leave a legacy of perseverance and resiliency. You don't get through a PhD or even doing a business or whatever you're doing without those two things. A PhD is not about being smart. That's probably one of the last things you have to have to get a PhD. It's about being perseverance and resiliency, because you're going to go through things in your personal life and in your academic life that are going to test you. I didn't deal with the hazing, the academic hazing per se, but a lot of my other a lot of my other classmates did. I was prepared for it, but you know, a lot of them did deal and they are still dealing with that. So you have to be able to believe in yourself enough that you're like, I'm not going to fold to that. And just, you know, resilience, you know, just being resilient, like in the face of adversity, you don't give up. So that's pretty much it. It's, you know, that's my legacy.
Mm-hmm. That's dope, man. You said a lot there too, as far as saying, you know, even though I know you're a very smart guy, it's not necessarily like a person like being the smartest person as far as getting that PhD, you know. So, you know, because I've had conversation with people like, oh, you know, there's no way a person could have reached this or reached that without being this, you know. And there may be some truth in some of that, you know. Yes, you can't be no dummy, so to speak, but I think hard work, you know, and you know that resilience, you know, that speaks volumes. And I've seen you, you know, many a days, you know, like I said, this man is multifaceted, you know, between mixed martial arts and you didn't think I was gonna throw that in there, right? yeah, many a days with that, you know, and like you've always impressed me, because like you'd come to me and be like, all right, I'm interested in this, and you may have known nothing about this, but you spent all the time, you know, and effort to research it and to get better at it. So, you know, I say to any listener out there, you know, you don't even have to, you know, have an idea as to what it is that you're interested in to, you know, to even just take a step in that direction. Because, like, with you, like, you've accomplished so much. And I could speak for a long time about some of your other accomplishments, but we'll save that for another segment. But you've accomplished so much, and it's always impressed me that I'm like, here's this young man that, you know, didn't know much about it, but he was willing to take a chance and a risk, you know, and become a sponge and absorb all this information, you know, like you mentioned about your teacher back in high school. So, wow, like perseverance, people, like there's nothing out there that you can't do. You know, as long as you are able to become mature enough to understand, all right, I need to what am I trying to say? I need to isolate myself. And I may need to stop doing whatever it is that I was doing before, hanging out with the fellas, you know, being as involved as I was in these other auxiliaries to get whatever that is that you want to get. Wow, man. Wow. Like some of the little things, like I said, that I didn't know before. Like I had no idea that Trav was gonna end up.
I didn't either.
Like, I had no idea. I mean, no idea. I knew that he was gonna do something great. But right. That's something great. I couldn't have told you, you know. And our many of, you know, late night, you know, conversations on life, you know.
Thank you.
I'm proud of
Likewise.
You.
Likewise. I really proud am, of you too.
You know, and yeah, man. Yeah, this guy was in my wedding, so you know, he's family for real. So yeah, this is one of my best friends, and I had to have him on a segment because as smart as he is, here's a man that has always been resilient and has pushed through those barriers and those boundaries. We don't have a whole lot of time, so I can't really go into the nitty gritty details of some of the things that, you know, he has faced and we've leaned on one another on. I'm just proud of you, man. And I know you. This isn't over for you yet. You're still pushing, and I can't wait for the next chapter in your life, man. You know, he even has a book out. we got to plug that, Trav. I can't forget about that. You do have at least one.
No, I have one published.
Right? Or is there two?
Yeah, trying to work on another one.
Okay.
That book is called book Edification, Exhortation, and Comfort.
Edification, Exhortation, and Comfort. Or Comfort?
Yeah. It's a poetry
and
book.
And Comfort, okay. Edification, Exhortation.
Yeah,
exhortation,
it's based on scripture and the Bible.
And Comfort. Yeah. Yeah, and I have a copy of it. Yeah, so go out there and get this man's book.
I'll send you the link, but I don't even really use that link anymore. So okay. I'll send you another way how they can get it. I'll give you my IG tag, and then if they hit me up, I can send it to them. That'd okay. probably be the easiest way now.
All right. I'm still learning this technology too, man. but yeah, this is a deep brother, you know.
Yes.
Minister as well. I mean, I don't want to throw everything out there, but yeah, he's definitely been great counsel for me. You know, so I'm impressed with him because, like, even after all the stuff he's gone through in life, he's made time for me. And I've definitely got through some tough times, you know, speaking with him. So, yeah, he's wise beyond his years. Is there anything you want to leave us with?
Just, in light of everything that's going on in the world, you know, with COVID, as well as the never-ending racism and sexism and whatever other isms there are. Be smart, of course, especially with COVID. You know, listen to the experts. The cases keep rising. So be smart when it comes to that. But when it comes to the other things that I mentioned, like the isms and the inequalities, in light of those things, as much as you can still push through and be who God created you to be. Like, as deeply entrenched as those things are in the world and in this country, they're still not enough to contain God. They are the reason why things are the way they are for the different groups, because it was designed that way. But even in the midst of that, God can still take a hold of your life and take you to places you wouldn't have thought of. So to me, being Black is a blessing. I'm a proud Black man, and I constantly fight against racism, even the, you know, racism in our own communities. you know, I stand against it. I don't tolerate it. You know, and it's not just because I think I'm just so enlightened. It's I want to be the best version of me that God's created, and I can't bow down to these ideals and then help my own people. If you know, because they'll, you know, people are getting smarter. We, you know, so you can be anything that God says you are, you know, despite what anybody else has to say. That's what I'm trying to say. So that's what I want to leave everybody else with.
That's dope, man. I'm so happy to have you.
Yes, sir.
On the show, man. I definitely got to have you come back again. Because, yeah, man, I'm just taking all of it. Well, telling all your secrets, because this man will be dropping an album soon. So I definitely want to plug that.
Yeah, we can talk about that when that's available. In depth when we do another one. Yeah.
Definitely, because I'll go through the whole album and, you know, you can, you know, speak on, you know, what made you.
Yeah, I love that.
Write that, you know, song, so. Yeah, definitely. So this is my guy, Dr. Travis Williams, and we're signing off. And thank you for listening to JB's Fam. All right, now.